The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, this is Eddie Ojeda from Twisted Sister, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
That was a UFO beaming back at you. Me and Eric Heisman were down in Mexico 2 weeks ago. We seen 40 of them flying in formation. They have got bases all over the world now, you know. They've been coming here ever since 1946, when the scientists first started bouncing radar beams off of the moon. And they have been living and working among us in vast quantities ever since. The government knows all about them.
Mark Striegel, John Astronomy, the Talking Metal Podcast. Coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft.
Guys, what you are about to hear is part two of the last Talking Metal Live show, the December Talking Metal Live show. And if you don't know about Talking Metal Live, it's, we do the podcast live every now and again, and that takes place on talkingmetallive.com. So again, this is part two. If you didn't hear the first part, I suggest going back and listening to that on the last episode. And let me know what you think. Send us an email at talkingmetal@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear from you guys, especially if you've never sent us an email. We just love to know that you're out there listening. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Here it is. Part two of the December 2010 Talking Metal Live show.
No tomorrow! Ball and chain. Watch me go against the grain. In a time of the giant's fall, I don't ask for much, I just want it all. Turn another page. Everything is in one, it seems.
What you just heard was the Poodles. Now, the Poodles are like... Yeah, the Poodles live off of the No Quarter record. The Poodles are quite big in Europe, and I've only... I admit this, I should have been tuned into them earlier, but only recently discovered them in a great, great band. Cool. Their live record is quite good, and there's a lot of songs on the live record that are not available. The studio versions of those songs are not available here in the States. So definitely pick up No Quarter by the Poodles. And great. We have another guest coming up.
Right now, Eddie, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, everybody, welcome Eddie Ojeda from Twisted Sister to Talking Metal. How are you, man?
Good, good. Where's the crowd noise?
Yeah, we need a little more sound effects. But Eddie, you're on here with myself and with Mark Striegel, and we've got Bud Friendly, who was also part of the Fuse show that you won. And we want to thank you again for jamming with us on Talking Metal on Fuse.
Great, great, man. My pleasure to be here. I'm glad to be back.
Cool.
Great.
Now, Eddie, tell us what is currently up with you. I mean, we've heard that Dee Snider is doing a Broadway thing now. What's the current status of Twisted Sister?
Yeah, well, we just got back from South America. We just did a tour there, like 10 days. We did 5 shows in 4 countries. We did Brazil, Argentina, Chile, and Bolivia. And Bolivia was rough because it's like 12,000 feet above sea level.
Wow.
Wow.
50% oxygen. Yeah, I didn't know. We didn't know. It was the highest capital city in the world. So it was like a meatloaf show. Everybody had oxygen. No, I'm just kidding. but no, you know, Meatloaf always has the oxygen after his show. But it was like one of those things like, you know, it's, I mean, they come to the, they pick you up at the airport, there's oxygen tanks everywhere because when people get there, they just can't breathe. Anybody that's from sea level or, you know, 12,000 feet is high, man, you know?
Man, I never knew that. Now, what about just the people that normally live there? Are they used to it?
Yeah, I mean, if you stay there for a week, you get acclimated to it. In fact, a lot of athletes work out in high altitudes, you know, because it kind of expands their lungs and it makes them stronger. So when they come to sea level, they have like an edge.
Mm. It's like swinging two bats.
Yeah, I found all this out this weekend.
Wow, very cool. So when did you guys get back from the tour?
We just got back Friday.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was one of those canceled flight after canceled flight. It was a brutal, you know, like 2 days to get back kind of thing. But it was all cool. And Dee's back on Broadway. He's in Rock of Ages.
Right. How do you feel about that?
You know, that's, hey man, you know, to each his own. It's like, you know, Gene Simmons has Family Jewels. He has Rock of Ages. I mean, you know, it's we all do our own thing. I'm currently working on my second solo album. And, you know, I hope to we'll kind of do the same thing I did last time, get some guest artists on there. Not sure who I'm going to get yet because it depends on schedules and who does what. Sometimes it's surprising, you know, I get surprised at who can and who can't. So until I get people recorded, right now I'm just doing the basic tracks and trying to, you know, get stuff down and put a deal together because, you know, it's just recording is one of those things. You put stuff down, then I kind of change my mind and I want to add something, and then usually I have to end up doing the whole thing over again. So I've been running into that quite a few times. But it'll get there. I mean, there's no rush. You know.
Now, cool. on your last record, you had a lot of great, great guests, and I wanted to talk to you about, I mean, Rudy Sarzo was on there, Dee Snider, of course, and you had Jolynn Turner, right?
Yeah, and Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Tonight, a great song that you did with Ronnie James Dio. I think probably my favorite song off of your record. Talk about working with Ronnie. I mean, we were all just so saddened by his loss. And you really were, I mean, I know it was probably 5 years ago at this point, but, you know, one of the last guys to work with him, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's, I mean, who knew? You know, it's like one of those things. It's kind of now I really makes me say, like, wow, that was, you know, what a coincidence that I was having to work with him, you know, just before, you know, a couple of years before he got ill and passed away. I mean, you know, who knew? You know, it's, one of those things that I'm really honored, kind of moved by the fact that, I did get a chance to work with him. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, you always want to get around to something and you never do. And this is something I'm glad I did get around to. And you know, and at least I had a chance to, you know, to share a moment with him and have him sing one of my songs, which is like probably one of the biggest honors. He's got probably one of the greatest voices in rock music. And, you know, working with him was a pleasure. I mean, you know, we did a whole tour with him back in the day for like almost a year. And then, you know, we've always stayed friends. And recently when he was out on his own before Heaven and Hell, we did some shows together. In fact, that's what kind of inspired me to write the song. I was, I guess, just listening to him perform and just got into my head. And I wrote Tonight. And then I started thinking about it. And I said, wow, it was like a perfect song for Dio to sing. You know, it almost sounds like a Dio song. So it was one of those things that, you know, I just approached him and said, listen, because we were doing a show together in Puerto Rico. And I said, listen, would you sing this track for me? You know, and he said, sure. You know, I'll be home for the next 2 weeks. It was all timing. So he was home for 2 weeks. He had just put in like a whole new Pro Tools set up in his house in 2005. And Rudy actually went over there and helped him. Rudy
Sarzo, of course.
Yeah, Rudy Sarzo. And, you know, they put down the tracks. It's funny because he sent me an email. It says, I'm going to sing the vocals and you'll like it. I'm going to do the harmonies and you'll like it.
That's cool.
And actually, he did, you know, I sent him the tracks without him even hearing the song, and he agreed to doing it. So, you know, that shows a lot of confidence in the fact that he thought the song would be cool. Even without hearing it, he was doing it. So, you know, that made me feel very good, too, because that's pretty honorable that he had that much confidence in me to send, that I wouldn't send him something that, you know, would make him feel like, well, am I going to sing this? You know, some kind of like real love song.
Right. Yeah. No, it's great that, you know, one of the greatest ever singers in all of rock and metal, you know, had so much faith in you that he didn't even have to say, well, you know, I have to hear the track first. He's like, Eddie, you know, absolutely, I'll do it. You just send me it and it'll be done. And you're going to love it, you know?
Exactly. Like, I mean, you know, he never even said that to me. He just said, sure, I'll sing it, send it over. You know, it wasn't even like one of those things. So that was definitely a very complimentary, I think. But, you know, he was just such a nice person to work with, you know, just low-key. He'd always, you know, he's one of those people you learn a lot from, you know. It's just even how to just be a person, you know, because he really went out of his way to, like, be very nice to his fans and stuff. And sometimes, you know, when you're traveling, a lot of times things aren't perfect, you know, and you're just so stressed out and tired that it's like, even though you want to, like, hang out and talk to people and be nice and take as many pictures as they want, and you're grateful for it, the fact that you have that, sometimes you're just so burnt and tired, man. It's like, it's really a hard thing to do. And he was always, he would just stay there till the very end, till the last guy was there, you know.
Wow.
One of those people.
Now, do you remember exactly what tour it was that you toured with him back in the day?
It was the, I remember he had the Big Mountain. It was one of his first albums. Jimmy Bain was in the band.
Okay.
Vivian Campbell.
Okay, so it was maybe that was probably You Can't Kill Rock and Roll or Stay Hungry or something like that, right?
Oh, well, you mean for us?
It
was,
yeah.
Well, that wasn't Stay Hungry. That was... Stay Hungry was the Iron Maiden tour when we had...
Right, which I saw you guys on that tour twice, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that was us and Iron Maiden. That was some tour, boy.
Power Slave, yeah.
Yeah, but definitely one of my favorites because, you know, and, you know, it was great because the Maiden crowd was just so receptive, too, you know, to us. So, you know, it was a great double bill. We had a great time.
Yeah, I remember seeing you on that tour, and it was actually in Milwaukee. And
Milwaukee
at the Mecca, it was called. And I remember it was one of the only times that there was an opening band playing that every person was there for the opening band. This is Twisted Sister and Iron Maiden. And I remember there was a guy, there was D called out. Everybody was on their feet except for two people sitting down, and D called them out. And the whole place was yelling at these two guys. And D was like, get up, get up. And they would not get up. And it was a big uproar and fun times, though. I can imagine. I mean, you guys, Maiden and Twisted Sister, both at the top of their game, just, you know, and the charts for that matter. I mean, any memories or gigs from that Maiden tour that stick out in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of them. Long Beach Arena was pretty memorable because it was four nights. And I actually had some fun as we did the Pee Wee Herman movie that week.
Oh, yeah.
And that was actually Tim Burton's first Dictorial. Is that how you say Dictorial? Dictorial.
Sounds right to me. I don't know.
Well, anyway, the first movie he ever directed.
Right.
I don't want to call anybody a dick. But, yeah. Dictorial. No, actually, he was a very nice guy. So was Paul Rubin. His real name is Paul Rubin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was, it was actually funny meeting him because, you know, I walked in, he's like smoking a cigarette and he's talking like a regular guy, like regular guy. Hey, what's up? What's happening? Like, I said, Pee Wee?
That's great.
So it was, and I got in trouble that day for riding his bike on the set.
Oh, that's classic that you rode the famous Pee Wee Herman bike.
Because yeah, I love bike riding, so I just jumped on it and took off, and people were chasing me. Screaming at me, what are you doing? Because you know, apparently the bike was cost a lot of money. There was like 10 of them. I said, what are you worried about? You got 10 of them.
Right. Hey, speaking of movies, Eddie, and I'm sure you guys know this, but wasn't it Jackass 3D? The Kids Are Back was one of the theme songs?
Yeah, it's the opening. I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm dying to see it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I saw it. And I just think it's so cool that what a great classic Twisted Sister tune to be part of that.
Yeah, I know. It's actually become a quite popular download, so we got to thank the Jackass guys.
Cool.
For that. But, yeah, it was actually they were on MTV, and all of a sudden I'm watching that the MTV Awards, and all of a sudden they come out, and I hear, dun, 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 dun. I said, I know that song. So I was pretty cool with them. It fits them well, too. I mean, you know, it's a perfect song for them. Kids Are Back.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole Jackass thing it's funny because that's definitely not like the kind of movies you take your girlfriend to.
Right, I know.
It's not a chick flick. I mean, they don't get it. It's definitely like the guy farting thing, you know, like we get it, but, you know.
Right, yeah.
But they don't get it. It's like, it's funny.
It's classic.
Hey, Eddie, I wanted to ask you, I recently went back and listened to the entire Twisted Sister catalog, and one album that really stuck out to me that was, I believe, back in the day, overlooked is Love Is For Suckers. Any memories of doing that record? There were so many strong songs on that album, and I just feel like when I talk to people about Twisted Sister nowadays, they always mention Stay Hungry or even any of the first three records, but no one ever mentions that record to me, and I really think it's an overlooked gem. What are your thoughts looking back on that record?
Yeah, I thought it was really a good, you know, I feel the same way. It's kind of like one of those albums that maybe it was too slick. The Twisted Sister, you know, like, you know, and Bo Hill produced that album. And I think maybe he, you know, I really liked the way it came out. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things I liked about it. But then, you know, for some reason, maybe, you know, I don't exactly know why. Maybe it was, like I said, too slick a record. Like most of our stuff is a little more like raw edgy, you know, not as produced. And, this album was, you know, well produced. You know, there was a lot of production on it, and I guess that's what maybe that's why it was overlooked, or it just happens. I mean, you know, Van Halen's last album was the greatest. If you listen to that album, it's a great album, and you listen to it, you go, how come nobody knows about this album? You know, and this it happens. You know, I mean, there's a lot of great albums out there that people just for some reason they overlook it, or you know. Certain the real diehards get it, but and maybe the band gets it, and more people that work close to the band. But we're thinking about doing one or two songs off, adding one or two songs off that album, because it is kind of the forgotten album. And it's unfortunate because it is a good record.
You know? Yeah, no, I agree. Great record.
Eddie, I wanted to talk about a couple of the collaborations you've done, both way in the past and some recent ones. I'll start out with the most recent one. Back when I was, in the mid-80s, I was in high school, and two of my favorite bands were Twisted Sister and Kiss, and fans in New York City got a real treat to see you and Ace Frehley jam together at Carnegie Hall. And tell us about that. I, of course, know because, I work with Ace, but tell all of the Talking Metal listeners about how that came about.
Yeah, well, Ace called me the night before. So it was like I had like 24 hours notice, and which was cool. But, if you know Ace, that's Ace.
Right, no doubt.
And which is great. So I just, I had to learn Angels kind of quickly, which is it's an easy song, but it's a hard song at the same time because it has a few,
little weird things in it.
Yeah, so it was, but I got to learn that, and New York Groove was pretty straight ahead. So, but it was great. I mean, I've known Ace a really long time. We've been friends for a good while now, and both Bronx boys, and we've always kept in touch over the years, and he's one of the few people that it's kind of cool when you stay friends with people through thick and thin, kind of, and we've always sort of maintained that friendship, and it was nice that he just called me in the spur of the moment. Next day I'm playing Carnegie Hall with him, and it was a great benefit, it was kind of long overdue because we've known each other so long, and we both been in similar type bands, except they sold a lot more records than us. But
yeah, well, you guys, Twisted Sister was awesome too. I mean,
but it was great. I mean, it was a great experience. It was a sold out show. Some of the Steve Adler was there. Vicky.
Ricky
Lee Jones, yeah.
Ricky Lee Jones, Chuck E.
Right. And then Henry Rollins hosted it. So yeah, it was a great event.
Henry Rollins hosted, and what's Daryl's his name?
Daryl McDaniels.
Right.
Run DMC. Yep.
So it was it was a pretty cool turnout, and definitely a blast. It was funny because me and Ace are playing through these little Vox amps. And, for two guys, like me and him,
yeah,
we're known for these wall of marshals behind us, and all of a sudden, we're playing through these two little Vox amps,
yeah.
And it sounded great because the acoustics in there are just...
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, there's a video of it, of New York Groove, on YouTube, but I thought there'd be somebody with a better video, but somebody taped it with a cell phone, but it's still really cool. So if you go on YouTube and search that, you'll see it. And you guys sounded great. And the funny thing about those amps, though, they were so small, we actually forgot them. And we were on the way out into the car, and I said, I think we forgot the amps.
Right.
So we had to run back and get them, but
little box amps, but it was because I remember when we got the Aces out, they were in the back, but they were it was amazing. I mean, it was great because we just went straight into the amps. There's because New York Groove, we were going to do it, we tried to do it acoustically like the other song,
right?
Like Angels, but which is great, that's a great song too. Plus, we had the two girl singers, I think you were able to,
I hooked it, Lord's Lane.
What is it? And Angels is off Anomaly? The new
yeah,
one?
Yeah, it's a little below the Angels. Yeah, great tune. Yeah, we had Lord's Lane, and then her friend came, and who was an awesome Broadway style vocalist, and and they were great. And the whole thing was a completely successful night, and it was, like you said, it was for a great cause, and we had a blast.
Definitely. It was, I'm really glad that the Mayonnaise got to do that, and especially in a place as historical as Carnegie Hall,
Right.
That's the first time we ever played in public together,
Yeah, what a great place to do it,
Yeah, so, that was definitely a very memorable evening,
No doubt.
I wish we could have done a good video, but...
I know.
They wouldn't let us film. I mean, we had Dave Stryker there.
Right.
Film, but... And, you know, he came all the way down from Connecticut, and he brought his gear and stuff, and they just wouldn't let him do anything. So, you know, it ended up on the old cell phone thing.
I know. Yeah, I wish Dave could have done it, too, because, you know, Dave is a pro. He's worked with you guys. He's worked with Ace, and he's a good friend of mine, too. So, yeah, it would have been nice to have, like, a pro shot video.
Yeah, it would have. But it's still at least something's up there that,
to mark that event. Right, absolutely.
A little vibe, you know, a little vibe of what happened, you know.
Definitely.
Hey, Eddie, I wanted to ask you, I recently heard kind of a cool cover that you did, Big Bottoms, or Big Bottom? Big Bottoms. It was on this All-Star Salute to Fat Chicks, a Whole Lot of Love tribute. Could you talk about how you got involved with that?
Yeah, well, that's AJ.
Okay.
And, you know, that was his whole idea to put this whole Fat Chicks tribute album together. And the cover is pretty funny. I mean, it's definitely like, you know, that girl busting out of a leather bikini, you know.
Right, the classic Led Zeppelin swan song image, yeah.
Right. And I've seen plenty of that at some of the shows, you know.
Right.
but along with the, you know, the regular ones, you see, the, you know, the ones busting out of it, busting out. But it was pretty funny. I mean, he kind of approached me about it, and you know, he told me there was certain people doing it, and a lot of different guys from different bands, like Cinderella. And I said, you know, sounds cool. Let's do something. So I got together with the guys from my solo band, which is Chris McCarville, Andre Van Show, and BJ Zomba. And we did, you know, we just put it together. We did everything basically over the internet. I mean, Chris and BJ did the basic tracks and sent it to me, and then I did all the guitar stuff. There's quite a bit of guitar on it, for, you know, it wasn't all bass. You know?
Right.
And it was pretty funny that, you know, at first I thought he was joking because he wanted me to, you know, do a guitar with all bass, you know. I sent me a song that would it's just lead bass, all bass. What do you want me to do, play lead bass?
Right, like tap.
That's like Steven Tyler putting out an album and somebody saying, who's singing?
Right.
You know, and like, well, not, you know, I'm not comparing myself to Steven Tyler, but I'm saying as far as, you know, he's a singer.
Right.
And here you go, like, asking him, I'm doing a solo record. Oh, yeah, who's singing?
Right.
So
you got to play guitar on the track.
Yeah, so I was kind of one of those things. And I said, well, let me think of how I can do this. And I just kind of went around it, and it came out pretty darn good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I think
awesome
it sounds
track.
Great. Were you a big fan of Spinal Tap?
Oh, it's a great movie. You know, there's an English version of like Spinal Tap. I forgot the name of the Bad News Tour.
Right. I remember. I think I have that VHS, believe it or not. But I don't. I'm not as familiar with that though as I am with the Spinal Tap. But I do remember that.
Yeah. Those, I mean, it's great stuff. I mean, Spinal Tap, great movie, you know, the songs, everything. And the thing is so much of it is so close to what it's really like. That it's yeah. pretty pathetic. That it's almost like the truth, not even like...
Yeah, no, it's exactly. I forget what band that they supposedly like went on tour with.
Well, they went on a few different or something. Saxon.
Right.
Yeah, and it's funny because Nigel is the drummer of Saxon,
right? And then he took the name Nigel. Yep. Yeah, which is great. Now, Eddie, I just wanted to kind of go way back to something that I'm sure people can find on YouTube, but it's one of my favorite Twisted Sister memories, and it was when you guys played, I think the show was called The Tube. It was an English TV show, and Lemmy came out and jammed with you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Lemmy and Robbo.
Right.
From, you know, Robinson from, he was in Tim Lizzy. And that was awesome. That's how we got our record deal with Atlantic Records.
Wow.
I don't know if you know, but what happened was, this is a thing called The Tube. It was kind of like similar to Ed Sullivan, you know what I mean? I'm really dating myself. Most people, who's Ed Sullivan, you know?
The Beatles.
We know who Ed Sullivan is, definitely.
Well, we were little kids, you know what I mean? But it was, you know, but it was like just one of those shows that everybody in England watched on Sunday night or whatever night we did it, or Saturday or Sunday. It was just a show where, like, 8 million people were, you know, were watching it at one time, you know. So, and it was in Newcastle, I believe it was filmed. So, big show called The Tube, and basically Secret Records had gone belly up, and that was our the label, the first label we were on. It's an English label called Secret, which was quite appropriate. because it was a big secret that we were signed. And, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, we just went back there to try and kind of, because we had a big buzz going in England, you know, so we said, well, let's go back there and do this show. They offered us a show. So, you know, we kind of had to borrow money and stuff, believe it or not, to get over there to do this show. And we already done quite a few shows in England, and, you know, I befriended Lemmy and Motorhead, and so, you know, we asked Lemmy to come up and jam on It's Only Rock and Roll.
So, right.
You know, he came up and jammed, and Mick Jones happened to be there, because Mick Jones did an interview, Mick Jones from Foreigner, and he happened to be there with Phil Carson from Atlantic Records, and he was the president of Atlantic in England at the time. So he... they were going to leave, and Mick Jones said, you know, this band, Twisted Sister, I want to see them, because, you know, I turned on the radio, they're playing this place, they're playing that place, all, you know, they're playing all these clubs in the tri-state area, in the New York area, and Mick Jones kind of lived in New York at the time, so he was curious to see the band. So,
wow.
Yeah, so, you know, they stayed to watch us on a monitor, you know, and basically, not sure if they saw it a little bit live, a little bit of the monitor, but whatever. And after that, Phil Carson came down the next day. We were playing the Marquee in London, Marquee Club. So Phil came down, saw that show, and after that, Mark Puma was our manager at the time, came back and said, Atlantic Records wants to sign you.
You know, very cool.
In fact, after that Tube show, we actually had a couple of record deals on the table. And we ended up going with Atlantic.
Which was great. And
yeah.
I think that Marquee show might have wound up as like a live EP. Is that possible? Or maybe like...
It's out there somewhere. There's a couple of Marquee shows that were pretty memorable. And they're out there. You know, we never officially released...
Oh, okay.
Officially released one. There might be a cut or two on I think... Maybe I'm not sure if Liar, if Big Hits and Nasty Cuts might have a live Marquee cut. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I gotta double check. I have some like old 12-inch singles that have some live stuff. I gotta take a look at. But yeah, cause for some reason, I remember the Marquee.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you know, we've done so many live things that sometimes, but I think one of them, something we might have an official Marquee live release thing. I would have to, you know, go through the album.
Go back. Yeah, but, I mean, for all you Twisted Sister fans, go, you know, on the internet and just look for the Tube performance. And what a cool story. I had no idea that, you know, it turns out that a guy who lived in New York, you know, Mick Jones from Foreigner, who sees your, you know, your name all over the place in New York, winds up seeing you across the ocean in England, and then because of the friend that he had there, you guys, you know, get, you know, signed to Atlantic, which is just amazing. And then that's what really brought you guys to be like a household, you know, word back at the date.
Technically, yeah, we got signed to Atlantic because of Mick Jones, and I think he, you know,
well, it's interesting.
He's embarrassed about it still to this day, but he can't deny it. So if you talk to him and say, "Listen to me," he'll go like, "Oh no, not again."
Cool. Well, man, I think it's great, and you know, I was a fan even before that, but I'm glad you guys got signed because it's, you know, obviously better for you guys.
Cool. Well, Eddie, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Talking Metal. We'd love to get your name, and you are listening to Talking Metal before we let you go.
Okay, this is Eddie Ojeda from Twisted Sister, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Cool. Thank
great,
you, Eddie.
Thanks, man. And we're gonna end the show with the song Tonight, right?
Yeah, let's do Tonight.
Let's do Tonight
Dio
from
Eddie.
Axis to Axis by Eddie Ojeda.
And thanks. Dio. Cool. Thanks, Eddie.
Take
bye.
Care, Eddie.
You're welcome. My pleasure, man.
All right. Bye-bye, man.
Here we go.
Take
Tonight.
Care.
Tonight can be the night. If you want to go my way. And if You're listening to another exciting episode of Talking Metal Live. Mark, John, hosts.
Thank you, Bud Friendly. And I want to mention, guys, you can pick up Eddie Ojeda's CD, Access to Axes, at cdbaby.com. So definitely do it. It's worth it, and you will not be disappointed because it's a killer CD by Eddie and a bunch of his cool friends.
Definitely. Yeah, that was a fun interview. Thanks to Eddie for joining us. We had him on the Fuse show. Did we ever interview him on Talking Metal before?
I don't think so. That is the weirdest thing. We had him on the Fuse show where we jammed I Wanna Rock.
Right.
And that's available on our YouTube page. And we also jammed the Paranoid cover with Corey Clark and Richard Christie. So that was great. Yeah, Eddie, it was a really cool interview. I was like a huge fan of his like through the years. And so it's hard to believe we haven't had him on before. So it's kind of weird that we never actually had him on Talking
Metal. Yeah, because I know you've been friends with him for a while.
Yeah,
so,
and yeah. Even after that, the thing with Ace at Carnegie Hall, there was a thing that I did with Gibson, and I invited both Eddie and Ace, and they wound up driving down together, which was cool. And so I've been hanging out with Eddie quite a bit lately. So that's been very cool. And what a cool thing, because he's such a a great musician and always has been one of my favorite musicians.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, let's get into some more music here. I'd love to play some Overkill. Can we go old school here for a minute? Yeah, my energy. We've been doing this since 7. It's now 9:32. We started off with an hour of Talking
today.
Rock.
Yeah.
I get up at like 6 every morning because of my kids, but it's like I'm fading a little bit here. But
it's a bad time to take Four Loko off the shelves.
Four Loko. Now, what is that? That's like Red Bull and caffeine and what's the alcohol?
It's blackout in a can.
Yeah.
Now, but what type of alcohol is in there, though? It's just alcohol mixed with Red Bull?
It's it was.
Right.
A 24-ounce can with the equivalent of something like 4 or 5 beers in it. And
plus caffeine.
Plus 3 to 4 cups of coffee.
Oh, my God. People were like
dying
and stuff.
It tasted like gummy bears, apparently.
Wow. So it tasted good, and you drink
not
it.
Not targeting the children at
all. Right. Four Loko. I just love the name Four Loko. It's classic.
So, guys, we are in the second hour of Talking Metal here, the third hour of our live night here, which is, what is it, the 7th of December?
Yes.
And if you're wondering what that first hour was to you Talking Metal podcast, listeners, it was actually, we did the first hour as Talking Rock.
Correct.
So if you haven't heard that, please go to iTunes and subscribe to the Talking Rock podcast. Leave us a review. We have, I think, only a handful of reviews on Talking Rock.
Yeah,
one being positive and all the rest negative.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
A handful of negativity.
Yeah.
No, you know what? See, Talking Rock started out as Alien Rock, and we were kind of doing it a little bit in character, and we were, not really trying to be serious. Not that we're ever completely serious, but it was kind of a fun thing. And, there's always a couple of idiots that, feel the need to type some nasty stuff about people on the internet, which is just nutty. I mean, like, I have better things to do than to, leave negative comments, about anyone. I've actually never even left a negative comment on any website ever.
Really?
I swear to God, I've never. And I'm not saying that that I don't like people who leave negative comments, but
Do the animal porn sites actually allow you to leave comments?
No, they don't, which is why I haven't left any. But I don't know. I think it's funny. I mean, I like you remember when I got like a kick out of reading like negative stuff on air? And to this day, my favorite one is like when we'll cover like a Pantera song, and then some kid will write like, "Oh man, that's that sucks, and how dare you do that to Dimebag?" And I don't know.
All right. Well, anyways, this is Power Surge by the one and only Overkill, going way back off the Taking Over record on Talking Metal. Check it out, Power Surge. We'll be right back.
That was Iron Maiden Wasted Years, and this is Talking Metal Live. John, for God's sakes, put your pants on.
All right, hold on real quick. They're back on now. I love that tune, and that's still to this day, when I pick up a guitar, I frequently play that riff. Yeah. It's like it's such a cool tune. And, you know, we saw Iron Maiden recently, and
What was that song about?
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah. I always thought, you know, they toured for Power Slave, and we'll come back to your thought there, but they toured for Power Slave for like 2 years or something. You know,
wow.
It was like
so maybe
the longest tour. And it made me, when that came out on the next record,
right.
I always wondered if it was in reference to that
tour.
Super long tour that they had done. Not to mention all the tours before that, but you were saying that
we saw Maiden, and I had a blast at the Maiden show. I was so excited. I bought a shirt, which is, you know, I rarely even get excited at shows anymore, sadly. But I was excited. But I do have to say that, slightly disagreeing with Bruce Dickinson, I would have liked to hear more of the classics.
Yeah, and there's talk that they possibly will come back through the States, I believe, and do just that.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. And we'll also have to wait and see if they make an announcement like Priest did today. As to it being their last tour.
Right.
There's been some speculation about that, too.
Oh, wow. How about that? Now, I have a little mini announcement. On Saturday, I am going to Madison Square Garden to see the one and only U.S. performance by Rammstein.
Oh, sweet. You love those guys.
Yeah, I love those guys. And, I saw Rammstein so long ago at the Hammerstein Ballroom. I mean, this must have been like 1998 or something like that. But and I'm not really even sure if they played in the States since. I'm sure they've done something, but I cannot wait to go, and it's going to be great. And I hardly, you know, I'm just going by myself, and it's going to be awesome. So I can't wait for that.
Cool. Cool. I've been to plenty of shows by myself. I mean, that's the true devoted fan when you're not worried about going there for any other reason but to enjoy yourself and hear the music.
And you know what? Although, like, you know, I've been at Richard ZK's place, and I've interviewed him, and, you know, he was such a great guy. You know, I figured, like, this New York concert, I mean, not only is it a concert in one of the biggest cities, so you've got everybody trying to get tickets, but it's their only U.S. performance, like, and so I figured that, you know, he's going to be bombarded by people, so I'm not going to bother him. I'm just going to go, you know, like the fan that I am, watch the show, enjoy myself. You know, as much as we love doing Talking Metal interviews, sometimes it kind of makes some concerts work. Don't you find that?
It's just nice to kind of just go...
And just do, like, the normal thing and listen to the concert.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to end today's show with? I'm looking through stuff. I don't know. I have Damien Thorn, which is this band I used to go see at the Thirsty Whale in Chicago. But I kind of feel like playing something a little more mainstream. I don't know. Rush? Is that just totally...
I like Rush. You know,
totally
what albums
right
do you now? Have by Rush on there?
Oh, I got like the Chronicles, the greatest hits.
You know, I like this obscure Rush song, but I know you're not
looking
to play anything obscure. But I love this song called Marathon. Did you ever hear that song?
Yeah, I have heard that.
If you have Marathon, I'd love to hear that.
I do not have Marathon, no.
Any Rush is cool, though. Oh, you know what I also like? I like, and this is, like, I keep picking obscure Rush songs, but Stick It Out, I think, is a great song.
Stick It Out. That's a cool song. Yeah. We could definitely do that off of Counterparts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool tune.
Cool. Let's do that. 90s Rush, right?
Yeah. I kind of got more into Rush at that time period than some of the classic Rush, but I was always aware of the band, and one of my best friends, you know, growing up, Rush was sort of like his favorite band, whereas mine was Kiss.
Cool. Let's do that. Definitely not metal, but definitely some cool rock, progressive rock here, a little Rush. With Stick It Out, John Astronomy
request
here. So,
and then,
guys,
we're gonna play a couple more tunes after that, then?
I don't think so. It's just about 10 o'clock, so we're gonna call it a day. And thanks for joining us on Talking Metal Live. We had fun today. Definitely, if you didn't hear the first hour Talking Rock, go to talkingrockpodcast.com and check that out. And go to talkingmetal.com and buy a t-shirt in the store section.
Yes. Support Talking Metal, guys.
Yeah. Leave us a review on iTunes. Thanks. Rush.
to your instinct. If it's safely restrained, lightning reactions must be carefully trained. Heat of the moment, curse of the young. Spit out your anger, don't swallow your tongue. Pendulum swing. You might be too dizzy to do the right thing. Try on the fire, ultimate proof. Moment of crisis, don't swallow the truth. Deception. You make yourself a nervous wreck.